Welcome back. In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 4.3, Evidence-Based Decision-Making. If you watch the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with a skill. Because, honestly, the average adult makes, like, 35,000 remotely conscious decisions every single day.
Right, which is just a massive number when you really stop to think about it.
It's huge. And I mean, behavioral scientists here are getting a pretty shocking number of those completely wrong. Because when you break down how we actually choose one path over another, we rely way too much on assumptions or just fleeting emotions.
Yeah, exactly. Which brings us right to the core premise of this lesson. You know, consistently good decisions, the kind that actually hold up under pressure in a professional setting, they have to be rooted in reliable information, evidence, logical evaluation, that sort of thing.
Right, not just feelings.
Exactly, not just feelings. And I mean, it sounds simple enough, but actually doing it requires fighting against how our brains are naturally wired to work.
Yeah, because relying purely on emotion to make a choice, it's like navigating a massive new city without a GPS, just hoping the vibes get you to your destination.
That is a perfect way to put it. You're just wandering.
Exactly. Or like driving down a crowded highway, but only looking in your rearview mirror. You're just reacting to what already happened.
Yeah.
But we do this all the time, right? Why are we so prone to just defaulting to the vibes method when we're, you know, navigating our careers?
Well, it really comes down to cognitive energy. You have to understand how our brains manage resources.
Okay, so it's a biological thing.
Completely. Think about how we process information. Psychologists talk about two main systems of thinking. You've got system one, which is fast, automatic, emotional. It basically runs on autopilot.
Right, so that's like the gut instinct we always talk about.
Exactly. And then you have system two, which is slow, effortful, and deliberate.
The deep analysis mode.
Right. But here's the catch. The brain is incredibly energy hungry. To save resources, it defaults to system one whenever it possibly can.
Oh, wow. So we're just naturally lazy thinkers.
I mean, evolutionarily, it's a survival advantage. If you hear a noise in the bushes, system one doesn't, you know, pause to build a spreadsheet and evaluate the statistical probability of a predator.
Right, right. It just pumps you full of adrenaline and says, run.
Exactly. But the problem is the decisions you're making in a modern digital workplace are almost never about escaping predators.
Yeah, hopefully not. They're usually these complex, multi-layered problems.
Right. And that's where the friction happens. When we apply that fast, purely emotional system one thinking to complex professional decisions, we run into major trouble.
I can imagine. So what kind of trouble are we talking about here?
Well, the lesson material lays it out pretty directly. You get poor outcomes, wasted resources, mistakes that were entirely avoidable, and just really ineffective planning.
In a team environment, I guess that scales, right? One bad decision just burns everyone's time.
It does. It burns your team's time, your organization's budget, everything. On the flip side, leaning into evidence improves your confidence, ensures fairness, and just makes you way more effective.
Okay, but this makes me wonder, does this mean we have to turn into emotionless robots to be good at our future jobs? Like, do we just turn off our intuition?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, you couldn't turn off system one even if you tried. It's the background operating system of your brain.
Okay, that's a relief.
Yeah, and intuition is super valuable. Often it's just your brain recognizing a complex pattern faster than your conscious mind can process it.
So it's not bad. It just needs supervision.
Exactly. It's a partnership.
Yeah.
Evidence-based decision making isn't about ignoring your gut. It's about auditing it.
Auditing the gut. I like that.
Right. You use your intuition to form a hypothesis, but then you use evidence to test that hypothesis. That way you're not flying blind in a digital landscape. You support your choices with actual data.
Okay, so let's break down the mechanics of this. How do we actually do this testing? The lesson talks about three core pillars, right? Evidence, decision criteria, and evaluation.
Yep, those are the big three.
Now, evidence makes sense, just finding reliable information. But that second pillar, decision criteria, I kind of need some clarity there, because honestly, isn't that just a fancy term for a pros and cons list?
I hear that a lot, but actually, no. A pros and cons list is a great start, but for navigating a digital-first career, it's pretty structurally flawed.
Wait, really? How so?
Well, the problem with a simple pros and cons list is that it treats every single variable like it has the exact same weight. It completely lacks nuance.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like, if I'm picking new software for my team, a pros and cons list might put has a cool dark mode right next to meet strict security compliance.
Exactly. And visually, the list makes it look like those two things cancel out a negative, even though one is just a fun perk and the other is a legal necessity.
Right. You're mixing the important stuff with the trivial stuff.
Exactly. You're mixing the signal with the noise. True decision criteria in the digital age. It means systematically comparing options against specific data-backed goals.
Okay, so we're moving from a simple list to what, like a strategic evaluation?
Yes. You mathematically assign importance to your goals before you even look at the options.
All right, so how do we actually apply this? Because theory is great, but how does a young professional actually do this on, like, a random Tuesday when they're staring down a tough choice?
It's a very practical framework. First, you gather your relevant information before you decide. Then you establish your criteria and compare your options.
So we're building a matrix. But that brings up the tools mentioned in the lesson: Google Sheets, Microsoft Excel, Notion. I gotta say, a blank spreadsheet can be super intimidating.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like staring at a blank canvas when you don't know how to paint. If you don't think of yourself as a numbers person, you just kind of freeze.
But you don't need to be doing complex math here. You're just using the spreadsheet as a canvas to lay out the criteria visually.
Okay, so it's more of an organizer than a calculator.
Exactly. You put your options down the rows on the left and your criteria across the top. You just fill in the grid. It gets the problem out of your head where your working memory is pretty limited and onto a screen where you can analyze it side by side.
That makes it way more approachable. And this reminds me of the real-world case study from the lesson. The student who used performance data to figure out their academic schedule.
Right, that's a perfect example. Instead of just picking classes based on what sounded fun, which is a total System 1 move, they mapped it out.
They looked at the signal, not the noise.
Exactly. They saw that their grades dropped during morning classes or when they stacked too many heavy reading courses. So they made a structural decision based on that evidence.
Okay, but how does that exact scenario translate from college life to a future career?
It translates perfectly. Imagine you're a junior project manager. Your boss comes up and says, hey, we need this massive new feature launched by next Friday.
Oh, man. Cue the panic.
Right. If you just use System 1, you panic, or you want to please your boss, so you just reflexively say yes, and the result is your team works the weekend, quality plummets, and everyone burns out.
Yeah. You just committed without checking the capacity.
Exactly. But with evidence-based decision-making, you pause. You pull up your project management data, maybe in Jira or Asana, and you check the actual data.
Like how much work the team actually gets done in a week versus what we hope they get done.
Yes. You use that project management data to build your case. You go back to your boss and say, look, based on our metrics, a Friday launch mathematically requires cutting testing phases, but the data shows we can safely deliver it by next Wednesday.
Wow. So you're using data to advocate for realistic deadlines. It completely removes the emotion. You're not saying, my team is tired. You're saying, the math just doesn't support this.
Exactly. You allocate resources fairly, and you avoid burnout. That is what influence looks like in the future workplace. It's about having the most rigorous evidence.
Which brings up a couple of words from the text that stood out to me: fairness and transparency. And this gets into the responsible use of this whole framework.
Yes. Responsible use is critical here.
Because, let me push back for a second. If we don't set up those criteria clearly beforehand, aren't we just cherry-picking data to prove what our gut already decided?
Yes. Confirmation bias. You're absolutely right. If you want a specific outcome and you build your spreadsheet after the fact, you'll subconsciously tweak the numbers so your favorite option wins.
Which totally defeats the purpose, right?
Yeah.
It's just a disguise for an emotional choice.
Exactly. Which is why responsible use of information means evaluating risks and consequences objectively.
So setting the criteria first is like a defense mechanism against our own bias.
Yes. Clear criteria prevent bias, they reduce avoidable mistakes, and they ensure the final decision is fair to everyone involved.
Okay, so how do we build this habit? Let's talk about some practical growth advice. The lesson has...
Yes, and it's very straightforward. Choose just one upcoming decision you need to make and map out four things.
Okay, what are the four things?
One, your evaluable options. Two, the supporting evidence for each. Three, the possible outcomes, and four, your final recommendation based on the first three steps.
I love that. It's almost like being your own defense attorney.
How so?
Well, you can't just walk into a courtroom and say, Your Honor, I have a really good vibe about this. You have to bring the receipts.
That's very true.
You have to lay out the evidence and justify your conclusion to the jury. And in real life, that jury is your future self, or your team, or your boss.
Bringing the receipts changes the whole dynamic. You'll actually feel your anxiety drop because you know you aren't just guessing anymore.
Which leads right into the core reflection prompt from the lesson. I really want you, the listener, to chew on this today. How can evidence-based thinking improve the quality of my decisions?
And don't just think about it in general terms. Think about a specific problem you're facing right now where filtering out the noise could really help.
Definitely. So to wrap up, let's distill the core rules for your digital future. Number one, good decisions require evidence. Two, comparing options intentionally improves quality.
Three, clear criteria improve fairness. And four, rigorous evaluation reduces completely avoidable mistakes.
Awesome. And before we close out, we do need to acknowledge the foundational reading materials that made this framework possible.
Yes, absolutely. We owe a lot of this to some brilliant researchers. Specifically, the concepts we talked about are rooted in Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman, published in 2011.
Such a good one.
It really is. We also drew from The Signal and the Noise by Nate Silver from 2012. And for the parts about bias and objective evaluation, that comes from Factfulness by Hans Rosling, published in 2018.
Fantastic resources. Highly recommend checking those out. But for now, we want to encourage you to stay curious, stay responsible, and stay future ready.
And please remember to review your end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities. It really helps lock this stuff in.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. It's been an absolute pleasure walking through this material.
Thank you. I loved exploring the future of work with you today.
And to our listener, next time you have a choice to make, just remember, don't navigate your future looking in the rearview mirror. Build the criteria, bring the receipts, and we'll see you in the next lesson.